Kia ora whānau and welcome to another episode of Get a Job and Get Healthy with Costas Enterprises. Today, it's going to be a bit of an interesting one. I haven't really talked about this much in camera, so I thought I would do that now. Basically, today's subject is going to cover a lot of things that are going on at the moment with the New Zealand government in regards to redundancies. The main reason I am talking about this is because I have previously just been through a redundancy last year when I used to work for the government. So I wanted to talk about my experience, but also for those that are going through redundancies or about to go through the consultation process, just explain a little bit more for those people what's going on. We'll get through all the fun stuff first. So let's pay the bills effectively. And my socials. You can find me at the Kiwi Don on both Instagram and on Twitter or X. You can also find me on my website, www.costasenterprises.business.blog. I will be referencing some of the stuff that I've got on the website there for you and some of the things that I talk about, probably over the next couple of episodes to really delve a bit more deeply into this. And also you can find me via my email, doncostas@gmail.com. That's D-O-N for Nike, C-O-S-T-A-S @gmail.com. As always, I am Alex, your ever-loving host. I'm wearing one of my Redbubble designs that you can see here. So, why am I talking about this? Last year, almost exactly about a week away, next week, I was made redundant from the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, or MBIE, as they call it. And at the time, I went through the whole process. It was a very, very weird process. Basically, I was the only person that was made redundant out of my entire department. So it wasn't done the way it would normally be done with the redundancies that are currently being proposed. That is the main thing I do want to do. So this is not a, this is no way a hate video or anything like that, or, you know, blaming MBIE or anything for what it is that they did. I'm not happy with their decision, but we'll get into a bit more of that later in regards to how I feel now. First off, I want to say to all the people that potentially might be affected by redundancies or disestablishments of roles and all that sort of stuff, I feel your pain. I've been there. Some of you have probably been through this process a couple of times. Some of you may have heard about the process. Others may have never heard of this before. I'm trying to target most of you. So talking about my experiences of going through different roles, but also at the same time, talking about the process that I went through with MBIE. Now, bear in mind that the changes might have happened in a year. They might have updated the whole redundancy process or pathway. I'm assuming it's pretty much the same. So please, you know, don't at me if it is different. Each government department will have its own way of doing this as well. And again, this is not a hate video on government or anything like that. If that's what you're thinking, sorry, that's not going to happen. It's more discussing what is actually happening to these people. It's also discussing what you can do if you are in that process and how it can help you. So first off, what happens? So the government has recently just announced even more job slashes. It sounds like it could be up to 1,000 job cuts across the government at least. Now, last year they did a series of cuts and it was about sort of 100 to 200 from MBIE. I was one of the ones that was before that, so I had a little bit of a different process. However, the general process for a redundancy is pretty much the same. So first off, when you get made redundant, it's not like a simple click, you're done. The government department, depending on what individual agreement you're on or on what, you know, collective agreement you're on, the government usually has to try and find you, or the department has to try and find you a better job within the department first, if possible. and all that sort of fun stuff. But before you get to that, you have to become an affected staff. So what does affected staff mean? Affected staff basically means that you are an affected member, meaning that if this was to go through, you would be effectively made redundant, or your role would be disestablished, is another way that they call it. Meaning you'd lose your job. That's not beat around the bush. That's effectively what that means. Now, I used to be part of the PSA, which was the Public Service Association. They are a union. Usually with unions, they will back you up and they will help you with your submissions and all that sort of stuff. So at the very start, when you get announced, something like this will get announced and be like, we are looking at reducing roles, or we are looking at disestablishing a role. And if your role is in that title, usually there is a process where you can actually submit. And that's probably what's happening now, is there'll be a consultation period, that's what they call it. And the consultation period can be anywhere from 2 weeks, 1 week. It'll usually be at a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks, but sometimes it can go up to four weeks, so a month. And in that time, you will usually submit your responses as to why you feel like either yes, they should go ahead with this, or no, they shouldn't. In most times, let's be real, you're going to be saying, no, you should not go ahead with this, and all that sort of stuff. So what should you do? If you are in the consultation process and you are an affected staff member, or you know someone that is affected, this is the kind of thing that you need to start doing. You need to put a submission in, but it's not, when you're writing these submissions, you have to write them as not emotional. So yes, you are emotional at the moment. So take the moment, realize that yes, you are, you know, basically being told you're going to lose your job. I understand that. When you're writing your submission, that is the last thing you want. You want to show them why your job is important, why your role is important, and why, you know, if they got rid of your role, what would happen? And you have to do that in a facts-based summary. So you could do it as bullet points. You could write a 15 paragraphs. The main thing is get your point across as facts. So, for example, with me, I was an ICT trainer, and I was teaching people how to use things like Microsoft Office. I was teaching people new systems going into place. So I had my submission about, you know, this is what I do, this is what I did. In the end, they decided that the reason why they didn't need me was because my role could be done online. And yes, to a degree, part of my role could be done online. However, I argued that people would still need to know how to find that information in order to do that. I also argued that I'd been there for 16 years. I had not only learnt a lot of ins and outs with the ministry, but also things like, you know, I knew how something works. I knew how training was supposed to be delivered. I knew how projects were being run, but also how important training the workers on these projects were working. I was working in the IT department. So as you can imagine, that was the sort of thing that I was looking at. So I was putting these as a facts-based things. I was getting all emotion out of it, because once you start putting emotion into it, when they're reading it, that's all they're seeing. They're seeing the anger, they're seeing the hurt, the upset that you're feeling. That goes out onto the page. So take the time that you need. You usually, as I said, you usually have about 3 to 4 weeks to put your submission in. So take that time, start to process that, start to go, cool, I'm not going to write it first thing. Because a lot of people's first initial thing is, I've got to write it straight away. You don't have to write it straight away. You have time to write these things. So plan them. When you're writing a submission, plan what you're going to say. You know, intro, hi, my name is, this is my role. My role is up for disestablishment. And these are the reasons why I believe my role is important and should still be around. In some instances, it may not be that your role is being moved. Maybe your team is being moved to a different part, or your team is being moved to a completely different department based on what it is that you're doing. And if that's different, you need to explain why you feel like that is either a good decision or a bad decision. Most times when they are moving to different departments, you're going to have new reporting lines. All that sort of stuff will happen as well. And those sorts of things will be happening. That's part of usually what's called a restructure. Not so much redundancies, but restructures do also lead to redundancies in some instances. So you do have to be mindful of that as well. So explain your situation with facts. If you can, give examples. This is the reason why this, 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 or this. I have helped people this way, this way, this way. Now, I know a lot of us are thinking they've already made the decision. And look, in my instance, it was pretty much already made. I laid it out on the table and said, look, what's the deal? What's going on? They didn't say anything because they're not allowed to. But at the same time, I kind of, after working for the government for 20 years and going through many restructures, going through redundancy purposes before, I had a feeling that there was no way that I was able to actually fight this to the same degree that I would normally, because I just wouldn't have the support. With the things that are going on at the moment with the government, there is a lot of support out there. There is things like the PSA. There are your team members. There are your department members. So reach out to those people as well. So I talked about you doing your own individual response. I also strongly suggest you do a team response. And also another response will be engage with your union. So some people are with the PSA, others are with places like NUA, I think it is, or other unions. If you are a union member or you are a union delegate, you should be looking at contacting your union and going, hey, what is going on? Where is my submission? Can I put my submission into the group submission as well? And look, I'll be honest, it can be a copy and paste of your individual into that. With your team response, what I would strongly suggest you do is you actually talk as a team. Hey, our team is being targeted. What can we put? And then everyone puts in their individual and their team one together. So you put an individual one in, you put a team one in, and then you put a union one in. Now, if you're not part of the union, you are on your own. You have an individual employment agreement. You can put in your individual and you can put a team one in. That is fine. The main thing you have to remember with all of these sorts of things is the more you talk about it, the more people are aware. At the moment, the big news is all these job cuts, all these redundancies, up to 1,000 jobs, yada, yada, yada. We know that. So engage with the people that aren't affected and going, hey, I've helped you here. Would you say our role is vital? If they can put a response in as well. Most times with these bigger redundancies or bigger disestablishments of roles or bigger change proposals is the other way that they call it, there will be a document, something like Consider This, for example, which is an actual program that you would use. They can log into that as well, and most time they will be able to put their say as, hey, this particular team is really vital, we don't want to get rid of it. And they can put that on your behalf as well. That also adds to the weight of the balance of what it is that you're trying to do, which is to keep your jobs. Let's be real. No one wants to be made redundant. I know that. Some people will welcome it. When I first found out, I was very angry. Very angry. I felt like I'd been disrespected by the ministry. I felt like I'd been spat on. I mean, I had literally had blood, sweat, and tears working in my role over the last 16 years for the government and feeling like that just amounted to nothing. So I was very hurt. I was very upset. It has become a blessing in disguise. I've talked about before, now you see the videos, me selling candles and selling temporary tattoos and that sort of stuff. I love it. That would not have happened had I not been made redundant. Now, I'm one of those different people. I'm lucky I have a partner that has helped support me emotionally and mentally to get through this. With me and my situation, I was made redundant 2 months after losing my mother. So I was not in a good place. I was in a bad mental space. I would say if you are in that situation, you do need to raise that. Like if you are in an emotional situation because of being an affected staff member or disestablishing of a role or the moving of a team, you do need to state that. And you can do that in a way without it coming across as too emotional. Basically, you just need to make sure that you're taking any emotion out of your words, but you explain the situation. You explain that, you know, in my situation, I said, I have just lost my mother. It's been 2 months. I am not in a mental state because of this. Please advise why this is happening now, when it could have happened, it could happen later. And, you know, I never got a response in regards to that. Now, you can't take that stuff personal. And what I mean by that is when they don't respond to your queries, sometimes they won't. If there's a lot of job cuts being sort of decided, they will take an overarching response. I did get some responses to my questions, but at the same time, I'll be honest, they were not sufficient. They weren't good responses compared to what they should have been. They didn't actually respond to my question. That is why I said, in some instances, it feels like the decision was already made before. Now, as a former government employee, I know you're not allowed to talk about this sort of stuff. That is why I'm doing this episode, because I'm no longer a government employee. So I can say, look, sometimes the writing's on the wall. If the writing's on the wall and you've been expecting it for a while, you should start looking at, you know, what it means to be an affected staff. Okay? So start looking at the redundancy. Start looking at other jobs. Especially if you feel like for a while, your position, or at the very least your team, if it is one of the teams that is sort of being affected, if you feel like you're getting less work, if you feel like you're not getting respected, that sort of stuff, that's all things you can do as well. So start looking at the future, is what I'm saying. Now, that's not me saying you're going to get axed or redundant. I have no idea. I haven't worked for the government for a year, almost exactly a year. And the thing you need to be real of is whether or not you feel that if the writing's on the wall, what are you going to do about it? And that sort of gets to what we're talking to now is, so you've got your consultation process. If the consultation process goes through, they will usually have about 1 to 2 months to respond. Okay, so they'll take all the information in, they will respond. Do not be surprised if they don't respond to you directly. It'll be a response generally, because with most of these redundancies that are happening, they will be redundancies based on the fact that it is more so a team that gets slashed, or half of a team, or in some instances it will be personal responses, so you will be the only person that gets made redundant. In those situations, you should get some sort of a response to your submission. The one thing I really want to stress with all of this, do put your submissions in. Don't feel like you've got to give up. Never give up. Never give up. Put your submission in. Put your team submission in. Get your union to put a submission in. Even if it's just one person in the whole department, fight. Because you never know what's going to happen. And you might hit that nerve with the person and they might be like, oh, actually, yes, we do need this. When I first started the role that I got made redundant for, I started as a secondman. Now, before that, I was going to be made redundant at immigration, where I used to work. I was being told I had to work from Wellington to Porirua, and because of my personal life, I had to look after my mother, who was very sick, and she was based in Miramar, which is where I live now. Very, very unreasonable to expect someone to travel from Miramar to Porirua every day, when they hadn't previously, and at that time I did not have a full license. So there are extenuating circumstances which you can fight for. Now, I was one of only about 2 or 3 people that actually fought for the change, and I got affected status. So what does affected status mean? Effectively, affected status means that you have been identified as someone that is affected by the change, and because of that, you may be eligible for redundancy, Or say, for example, you decide you want to stay with the ministry. Maybe you've been in the ministry quite a while and you don't want to lose your job. But at the same time, if your job is likely to be disestablished, which you will find out after the consultation process, you'll be told that there might be affected staff and that you are likely to be an affected member. But until it's actually been signed off, which is about 2 months, you won't have affected status. You'll have sort of a pre-affected status. But once you have affected status, usually you can apply for other jobs within the ministry or department, whichever you're working. For example, if I was working at MB, I could apply for another job that is similar or close to my current profession at MB. And I would be given priority in the first instance. Now, what that means is you still have to interview, you still have to go through the whole process, but if I'm here and I've got affected status and Joe Bloggs is here and they might be better for the role, but they don't have affected status, the ministry in the first instance or department is supposed to take the person that has affected status, unless there is a good and sufficient reason as to why they can't. So that's what they mean by you applying for another job within the role of affected status. Now, they can only do that to a point. And what I mean by that is, if I was an IT trainer and then I tried to apply for another trainer role, I would be more affected. Okay, so they'd be like, yep, cool, we will take you on for the most part. If I was a trainer and then I wanted to go be the Minister of Immigration, they're not going to let me because I'm not skilled in the same capacity as the Ministry of Immigration. And so my affected status would help me get an interview, probably, but ultimately I would not make it because my skills do not match what they are actually looking for. So you can't just apply for every single job and think affected status is going to give me this. You have to find something that is similar to what you've either previously done and can show that you can do it, or is similar to the role that you're currently doing. So if you're a business analyst, for example, and they're getting rid of all your business analysts, and you see another business analyst with another part of the department, it could, you know, you might have been a business analyst for IT, and now there's one in immigration. Because you already have that sort of role and that sort of knowledge and experience, there's a good chance that you would have your affected status would come into play there. So affected status does help. Okay, that's how I got my IT role. I interviewed, I had affected status, and apart from me interviewing really well, I also, you know, because of my affected status, it was a good opportunity for them to retain staff. And that's kind of what they mean by affected status. However, that only goes for a certain time period, and that time period is for the time from when you gain affected status until the time that you would potentially be made redundant. So in my instance recently, last year, I only had 1 month of affected status. Now, in the first instance, the ministry is supposed to try to find you a role first, unless your employment agreement does not state that. Now, I was with, as I said, the government for 16 years. I'd been with the PSA for 20 years, so my employment agreement was a little bit more stronger in that respect. Because a lot of new employment agreements, they do have some sort of caveats, I suppose you could say. Because of that, my redundancy was capped at 12 months. So if I did get redundant, then they would have to pay me out 12 months of my salary, so a whole year of my salary, which is very good. They have since changed that. Every time a new clause comes in, the ministry says, oh, we want to change this, we want to change this. Sometimes redundancy is one of those things that they change. And sometimes it can be like a maximum of 10 months, or it could be a maximum of 6 months, or whatever it is. Now, usually it is 1 year. For every year of service, it's 1 month after a certain period. I think you have to have earned, I think you have to have been there for at least 2 years, and then you would get 1 month for every service up to a maximum of, in my case, 12 months. Some people it might be 9 months. If you're an older person, you may have been on another employment agreement, which was 1 month for every service, no cap. So, yeah, it depends on which ministry you're with, what your employment agreement. While you're going through this whole consultation process or affected status, go back and look at your employment agreement. Read the part on redundancies very, very carefully. Usually it will be written in legal speak. So if you don't understand it, contact HR, because even though it feels like they are the enemy, they are the ones that will be telling you how it works. Contact your union. They will know how your employment agreement works. Okay? Really, really important. Like, if you are with a union, talk to your union. Collective agreements are amazing things. Unions are amazing. Now, I got some help from my union the first time I did, when I went through the redundancy, they were great. They could only help me so much because, as I said, the writing was on the wall for my role. Regardless, I was the only person in my whole department. Therefore, it's very unlikely that I was going to get any help. They still helped me as best as they could. But another time I had to deal with the union, I got very little help. In fact, I got thrown under the bus. As I said before, I was a delegate, and I was pretty much told, to talk to the head of immigration by myself about why we were not happy. And I was representing three branches. So I felt very burned by that and very dubious, but I will still believe in the union till the day I die. I've seen them work. I know that they work. And in situations like this, the whole point we pay our union fees, or did pay our union fees, like me, is because they are there to help you. So if you have questions, talk to them. Another thing I want to make very, very clear at the moment, and I didn't really make it clear at the start, but I will now. If you are feeling emotional about this, if you are feeling upset, most ministries or departments within the government have what they call EAP, which is a program that you can talk to, and they have counselling available, all that sort of stuff. I know people don't like to talk about counselling. It is really important that if you are feeling emotional about this, you are upset about this, please use their services. They do help. They really do help. So, we talked about affected status, how it can help you with getting another job. If you are not successful in getting another job within the ministry, within the department, usually your affected status will only work for that ministry. Okay? You can't apply for, if you're working with Department of Justice and then you get EAP, you can't then, and you get affected status, you may not be able to go for ministry, or may not be able to go to MBIE. They will ask if you have affected status, and you will say, yes, I'm affected status. They'll say, usually they will expect you to be within the same department, because at the end of the day, the affected status is more so to help their bottom line, basically, their money. So they want to keep it within the ministry, because all ministries have their own fiscal budget, you see. So the important thing is, if you are unsuccessful, then what do you do? Well, you start looking at other jobs, if that is what you want to do. Prepare. And what I mean by that is, start thinking about things like what you're going to apply for in the future. Are you happy in your role? Are you happy with the job that you kind of type of job that you do? Could you look at going private? I went through all of these thoughts when I went through my redundancy. Because I only had a small time period, I had a month before I when I had the affected status to when my redundancy would activate. I knew that I was sitting on 12 months of redundancy, and I came to the conclusion to take the redundancy. At that time, it was about $70,000. So after tax, about 50K. You will get taxed on your redundancy as well. So do not be surprised by that. If they say you're getting a redundancy of this amount, remember that tax will be taken out of it. So look for the net amount, N-E-T-T, that they will show you in your redundancy letter. You will get paid out your holiday pay. You won't get paid out your sick leave. When it comes to redundancy as well, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I know the way I felt at this time last year, I was anger, I was bitter, I was upset, all of the emotions under the sun. And I felt worthless, I'll be honest. I have previously talked about in my previous episodes about how I felt a bit, you know, I lost my identity. My identity was I was the jolly fat guy that looked after his mother and had a government job. And in 2 months, I lost my mother and I lost my job. So I found it very hard to deal with. As I said, my partner helped work me out. When I knew that I was looking for a job, the ministry offered me the ability to talk to a recruitment agent. Now, usually I'm quite a proud person and think, I can write my own CV, I'm fine. But I thought, you know what? Take them up. They're paying for it. Do that. Take them up. Look at the course. Do all the things you need to do. Really important, guys. Really important. The recruitment agent I had was amazing. He helped me so much with CVs, cover letters, examples, how to look at my LinkedIn, how to look at my YouTube videos and all that sort of stuff. These days you do a CV on your on the YouTube as well, which is interesting. Now, while I didn't apply for another job, it was really, really cool to have that experience, have that knowledge, because I can take that and learn. That's the whole point. So the support is there. It is in the budget for you. Each person that has been made redundant or will be made redundant, and there will be some. Let's not sugarcoat it. The government has already said they're going to slash jobs. You may be one of the unlucky ones. So now you need to prepare of how you're going to go about applying for the jobs, going back for the workforce, or doing your own thing. So one of the things we are doing is we've started our own business. We're happy for the first time in 20 years. I'm happy to go to work. I work at home. I go to the markets. Now, I'm not making a lot of money. I'm not making nowhere near what I used to make. But I'm happy. I wake up in the morning whenever I want. If I go to a market, like I've literally come back from a market today. There was a Thursday market. First time they've done it. Loved it. Had a great time. Sat in the sun, spoke to people, engaged with people. Like, I can't stress enough, this is not the end. Redundancy does not mean the end. It does not mean that you are worthless. It doesn't mean that, you know, you should be shat on. You're not. So think about what you want to do for your future. Now, if you're one of the young people, maybe you're a young person being affected, you've got so much time. If you're an older person like me, you know, I'm 42 this year. And as I said, I had a crisis. I hadn't done any real other jobs other than government jobs for 20 years. I came out of school, came onto the benefit, after the benefit, got a job. Worked in government, did it for 20 years. That was, as I said, my identity. Now, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a salesperson. Like, you'll see on the side my Magic Mind. I haven't talked about it yet, but I have linked up with Magic Mind, and it is a nootropic drink. The reason why I'm not really bringing it up too much now in this episode is simply because we can't get it in New Zealand yet. But I would never have got this opportunity if I didn't start posting, if I didn't continue on. So that's what I'm saying. Find what you love. Take the time. If you need to take a month off with your redundancy, depending on how long you get and how much you get, take the month. Like, if you are not getting much paid out, of course, start looking for jobs, if that's what you want to do. But don't feel like you can't take time to process, because that's what it is. It is all about processing what it is that's happened to you, what it is that you're going through. Like, some people might scoff it off, like, oh, you're getting made redundant. Oh, no, it's a huge thing. And even though it is a huge thing, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. And that is what I want to show you, I want to teach you, is right now, you probably feel kicked down. You probably feel you've wasted your time in your job, or you feel like you feel like you're a victim. And you are, to a degree. It's now what you decide to do with that. Like, do you want to spend the rest of your time focusing on why you got made redundant? Trying to take that shit personally? Or what are you going to do with it? Like, I truly, truly, truly hope that, you know, if you get to see this podcast and this helps you in any way, like this episode, just please, please share it. And I could say like and subscribe and all that sort of fun stuff. For this episode, I want to get real with you. Like, I want to help you as much as I can. Now, speaking of help, consultation documents. If you've already been through the consultation process and you're waiting, start looking. If you're one of the affected people that they've said, at the very least, start looking. Start getting your CV together. Start getting your cover letters organized. Start working on your star examples. Now, the reason I mentioned my website before, and the link will be on this side probably, or this side, one of the two, the fun times. I have a free CV, a free cover letter, templates on my website. I also have examples for star examples, and I try to help you build some of your own. If you are applying for other jobs, even government jobs, you'll have to do behavioral questions again. I've tried to put a guide together to help you. Feel free to go to my website, costasenterprises.business.blog. You'll find my things in there. I know they haven't been updated in a while, but they're still there. They're still available for you. Reach out. Hit me up. You can ask me questions about my redundancy and what I went through. If you're feeling the same way, you can hit me up. You can go, I feel worthless. What do I do? And we'll talk. We can email through all of this. I'm not going to write any submissions for you. I'm not going to help you that way, unfortunately. That is something that has to come from you. But I can at least point you in a way of saying, well, have you thought about this, this, and this? And I'm happy to do that. I don't charge for that sort of thing. I want to help you. That's why I'm doing this episode. I could have done an episode on Sharesies. I could have done an episode on Magic Mind. I could have done an episode on selling, entrepreneurial stuff. I wanted to do one on this because I went through this. I went through the redundancies. I went through the feelings and the emotional roller coaster that is with all this stuff. And I know how some of you will be feeling. Some of you will be fine. Some of you will be thinking, oh, yep, sweet as, done. And that's all good for those people. But for those that don't, for those that this is their first time, maybe they never thought they'd be made redundant, I'm hoping this video will help you a little bit. I'm hoping that you realize that you can push forward. You can do all the things you're afraid of. Like, yes, finding another job is not easy. This is not a good market to be finding jobs. I know. So try thinking about making your own role, making your own job. Take the time. Process what it is that you're going through. So as a little summary, consultation documents. Put one in for you, put one in as a team, put one in as the union. Remove all emotion unless the emotion needs to be in there. Otherwise, just the facts. Why do you need to be there? Why do your team need to be there? And the important thing is, if you are doing an individual consultation, your individual consultation should discuss not only why you are important, but why your team is important. Like, you are a team. That is one of the most important things. Why does the work you do help the ministry or department that you're working for? What are they claiming? Are they claiming that automation can do it? Why? That sort of stuff. Like, get real. Be factual. Provide examples. Why? This is why you're so good. This is why you deserve to be there. Why your team deserves to be there. All that sort of stuff. Secondly, if you are identified as an affected staff member, start looking for jobs. Within the ministry first, if you can. Is there anything you can do at the same time with the same role or similar role? Would it be something you want to do? Like, before you start looking for jobs, the first thing you should be doing is asking yourself, do I want to keep working here? Do I want to keep working as what I'm doing? And that takes time to deal with. You've got time at the moment to look at yourself, to think about that sort of stuff. I can't stress it enough. I wish I had more time to process what I needed to before the redundancy. 1 month was not a lot of time. But I wish I'd had more. Identify the skills that you have that might help you get another job. Start working on your star examples for those skills, both a four and a negative. So you've got your consultations, you put them in. You're waiting to hear. So you go, cool, what do I need to do now? Identify that if you are an affected staff member, there will be jobs that may be available to you. If there are none available now, there may still be some during the period of when you have affected status. So identify your affected status term. Is it 1 month? Is it 3 months? Is it 5 months? You will get told in the letter once you get told exactly what happens. Do not take it personal. I know it's really hard. I took mine personal, mainly because I was the only one affected. So I felt a lot more personal because of it. If your team has been hit, let's be real, then you have to bear in mind that it's more likely that the whole team will be affected. And yeah, it'll always feel personal to you. But, and it's going to sound stupid, when trying to see the other side, it's hard to justify it, but see if there is any truth to what it is that they are proposing. And even that, when you're doing your consultation, like, are they proposing that they get rid of your team because there are too many staff members, rah, 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 rah. Usually there will be a proper reason as to why. What are they saying? What's the reason? What's the crux? Once you know that crux, then you can start working on your response and start going, ah, okay. So they're saying this is the main reason. And then identify the other reasons. What are the other things that they're saying? And in your consultation document, cover off those points. Like, treat it like a proper document, because that's what it is. After that, if you do become affected, again, keep looking for jobs or start making your decision. Do you want to stay within the ministry department? Do you want to stay within the government? Or do you want to start looking private? I know that if I had the opportunity, I don't think I could work for the ministry again, but that's not to say that I couldn't work for the government again. I don't hate the government. I don't hate the ministry. But I feel like as I've given so much of my time to one ministry, I feel like I would benefit doing another in ministry if I was going to. Unless there was a really good reason as to why I would go back to MB, for example. And it would have to be something very important, like they are working on something that I actually want to work on, for example. However, I'm having too much fun being an entrepreneur and self-employed. Brings me to the next thing. When you're looking at what it is that you want to do, do not discredit your thoughts. So your thoughts might say, I really want to do this. Write them down. Try to flesh them out. Try to think more about, actually, could I do this? Like, if you're getting a redundancy like I did, where it was over 12 months, even if you're getting something like 8 months worth of redundancy or 7 months redundancy, you can afford to take a month to process what it is that's going through and start thinking, what do you want to do? Do you want to try online work? Do you want to be a, you know, do you want to try sales? Do you want to try something completely different? If so, how? What do you need to do? You know, you may decide you want to go and be a zookeeper. What do you need to do? Do you need to study? Are there any courses? Can you do any free courses? Do the research. Like, it's hard to say this stuff, but it does need to be said. You are not the job that you do. You are a person first. And are you happy doing what you do? If you are, fine. Find something similar. If you're not, what makes you happy? Do you have money that's coming in that's going to help you achieve that goal? Like, I cannot stress enough, like, when I started looking at the things that I started thinking about, like my idea for the temporary tattoos, like this little guy here, came off randomly because I was working somewhere. I've told you guys I work at the Wally Collective. I do that part-time. But primarily, my main role is selling. I sell the coconut wax candles that we sell. I sell the earrings that we make. And I started thinking, I like selling stickers. I love stickers. And then I started thinking, what's something that people aren't doing? And I noticed that people were buying stickers at the Wally Collective for like $4 each. And I was like, $4 for a sticker? That's a lot. You know? And then I started looking at, what about temporary tattoos? And I started doing research. And I found them. I see someone has launched at Wally Collective my other idea that I talked about in one of my previous podcast episodes. Air fresheners. You're like, what? Trust me. Air fresheners. Everyone uses them in their car, right? So why not get themed ones? Someone's starting to do it. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm so proud. That's awesome. Now, I'm not saying I'm responsible for that. Of course I'm not. But I love that someone's taking that opportunity, is seeing something that's not there and going, pretty sure I can make that. Pretty sure I can market that. They are. I think their product name is Mr. Whiffy, which, a play on Mr. Whippy, and it's whiff, because you're getting a whiff of scent. That's a great brand name right there. Like, that's someone taking the alternative route of doing something different. That's what I'm trying to get into your head. Don't feel like, if you feel, like, let's be real, I felt defeated when I got made redundant. And this is me laying it all out on the line. I know I've kept quiet the whole time properly. I haven't really talked about my emotions with this I felt defeated. I felt worthless. I felt like I'd been kicked in the gut. 16 years felt like it was like that. Like I'd wasted the whole time. But I needed time to process that. And my partner basically told me one of the most important things. Because I was, up until about a week beforehand, I wasn't going to take the redundancy. I was still looking for work. And then a week before, like, my partner said it a couple of times, but it finally clicked. I had that light bulb moment. It went ding. And she said, you're getting the redundancy. They're paying you to find another job. And I thought, I was like, she's right. They are. They're paying me to find another job. Now, I don't have to find the job within the month that they've told me I have to find the job. And I'm getting a hell of a lot more pay to find that job than I am otherwise. So I think it remains to be said that you need to think about that sort of thing and go, hang on. Do I need to make that decision right now? If I have been made redundant, or I'm going to be made redundant, I am an affected staff member, how much am I actually going to get? Is it worth me delaying that? Because if you get affected status and you get another job, you don't still get your redundancy. You start the new role. Now, the good thing about starting your new role is you start a new role. And it cannot be for less than what it is that you're currently getting paid. I forgot to say this, but with affected status, at the very least, they will transfer you over on what you're on. Or you may get a pay bump. You will not go below. Because if you go below, they're breaching their conditions. So, what do? You have a think. This is what I'm getting paid now. This is what I will get paid. Or I could get my redundancy, which might be this. Because I've been there a couple of years. Well, if you've been there 5 years, you're guaranteed like 5 months. 5 years is a long time in a government department, I know. But it's also not a long time in a job. So, do you want to keep that job? Or do you want to take your 5 months and they pay you to find another job? Yes, you get made redundant. Yes, you have to put it on your CV that you are redundant at the moment. You got made redundant. And 10 years ago, it was a black mark. Oh, you got made redundant. But now, you got made redundant. Sweet ass. So the stigma of being made redundant, which I had, I'd felt that because I'm a very old soul. And I keep thinking old ways. And I clutch onto the past. I'd felt that stigma was going to affect me a lot. But again, I didn't come out of that until I processed it. The redundancy now, probably the best thing that's happened to me in 15 years. It gave me freedom to do my own thing. Now, I could have failed. I'll be honest, I was very lucky I got successful. I have a partner who is very smart with this sort of stuff. She saw something in me. She saw that I could talk. She saw that I could sell. And, you know, like, I bought all the things I needed to. I did a complete change of my life when I got made redundant. Emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever you want to say, I did a full 180. Changed my whole way. And I can't be happier. Like, honestly, if I was doing my same role or another government role, if I'd gotten another role within the department, I don't think I would be this happy. And that's the key. The one thing I've learned, be happy with everything that you do. So I hope, as I said, let's pay the bills. First off, if you need to, contact me, doncostas@gmail.com. Go to my website again, costasenterprises.business.blog. As I said, I have CVs, cover letters, star examples, all that stuff. So if you are looking for a job, if you're like, oh God, I need to find something, as a basis, have a look on my website. I've got some very, very simple things to say. Or go back, listen to some of my early podcasts, like episode 1 to episode like 5. I literally read the blog post out to you. Now, it is just audio. There is no real video on my YouTube. But at the very least, you can go and have a look at my things. As I said, I've got a CV template, cover letter template, star example template. Like, I've tried to make it as easy as I can for everybody. At some point, I will update those. But at the moment, I'm doing my own thing. If you are not in New Zealand and you're watching this, you're one of my American watchers, American viewers, you want to help me out? Very, very quickly, if you want Magic Mind, grab it. It's really, really helpful. My code COSTAS20 will get you 20% off. Plus, if you get a subscription the very first time you do, you get close to 54 or 56% off delivered for a 1 month. So you're basically paying the price of a 15-day one for about an extra $10 more, and you get a full 30 days. It's pretty, pretty good. Very, very amazing stuff. Will wake you up, will help you so much. No obligation to keep going, all that sort of things. At the Kiwi Don, both on Instagram and on Twitter, come find me, come hit me up. But I really want to stress to all the people that are going through what you're going through with the redundancy stuff, it's not the end of the world. It may feel like it, especially if you are an emotional person like I was, or if you're going through stuff yourself. Like, as I said, when you're doing your consultations, you're allowed to put the emotions that you're feeling into what you're saying, but do it as facts. Say, I have just gone through this, I have just done this, I have just done this. I feel like this is not a good time for this. However, the reason why I believe we should still be safe is because this. Here's our examples here, dun. Like, structure it like a proper document. Now, I wish you all the best. I really do. I hope at least part of what I've said, if you implement it, will help you on your journey through this. It's not easy. I'm not going to say it's easy. But at the same time, it's not. It is life-changing. But how you choose to deal with it now will determine how you will be for the rest of your life. If you let this overcome you, then you're going to find it hard getting other jobs. You're going to find it hard adjusting. But if you realize that this is an opportunity for you to change, for you to go a completely different way, take that opportunity. As my partner said, they are paying you to find another job if you are one of the ones being made redundant. If you're being affected and you want another job, try going for another job within the same ministry or within the department. You have affected status. You might get lucky. You're more likely to get a job than someone that isn't. I hope this has helped you. I hope everyone is well. And please feel free to hit me up. As always, guys, I love you guys. I really do. I appreciate every listener. So thank you and good luck.